Well, hello again. Good to see so many smiling faces. Praying you had a great Thanksgiving weekend, and glad that you're here today. Stephen did an awesome job last week. It was wonderful hearing all that God had laid on his heart about being mindful people, or the mind field, that's what it was. Getting it right between the ears is so important. Amen? Amen. Good. That was a good hearty amen. Like, you guys are ready. Are you ready for this? You ready for hearing the word of the Lord this morning? Well, we've been in our series, Powerful People, and gosh, what a time to be thriving people of God when everything around you is telling you that this is not a time to thrive. Stop and think about that for a second. Every news story, every indicator, every conversation with a friend, intentional or not, is telling you that this is the wrong time for you to thrive. And the kingdom of God says this is the perfect time for you to thrive. This is the perfect time for you to be energized and endued with the power of the Holy Spirit from on high and live differently, walk differently. The verse that Stephen shared with us, consider then how we should be living. Oh, what a great question. And so challenge today is just to be powerful people and not give away our power. And that's if you're not used to that kind of language, that sounds really weird. But we've been given freedom, and with our free choice, we talked for a few weeks about being victims. We're going to actually talk a little bit more, not today, but probably next week. We're going to sidestep for just a little bit. Something that Stephen kind of chuckles at me. And if you talk to any pastor, Dwight used to say this all the time, the hardest times to preach are Mother's Day and Christmas Day and Easter, you know, because it's all been said already, right? Well, I kind of like some of those touch points. And so I told him I would be talking, it's Thanksgiving weekend, so what are we talking about this weekend? Well, we're talking about powerful people are thankful people. And I'm just telling you guys, as I was just meditating on this, I think we need to hear this so much right now. Like, specifically, in this moment in history, we need to hear this. I need to hear this. So, if you've been in church, if you've just been a decent human being, or how about this? If you've hung out with decent human beings, okay? If you've known one or two of them, right? You kind of been in the company of okay people, at least, not all rascals. We all know that being thankful, it's just common sense, good manners, right? I love some of that. We live in the Midwest, and one of the things that people say when they get here that people are polite in the Midwest, and so people talk to them. Because South Dakota has gotten a lot of attention lately, when we've been to a couple conferences. And people from outside of the state, when they come in, most specifically, they've been to Sioux Falls. So not that you guys aren't nice, but that has been their experience. And one of the things that they always say is, we get to Sioux Falls, and it's like, what happened here? What kind of place is this? Because everyone's friendly. Like, we walk through the streets, and people are saying hi, and they're shaking their hands, and they're, you know, how you doing? And, like, they're strangers, and so they're just having a hard time processing that where they come from, people aren't like that. I think Bob Koo, I think, even said the same thing when he was here. The guy that most of you don't know about, but he was here on a Wednesday night. Just happened to be passing through. He was from Connecticut. And just talking about how nice people are around here. So being thankful, right? You say, if you're going to have good manners, you say, please and oh, good. You know that. Okay. I didn't know if you guys had good manners or not. But if you have good manners, you don't even need to know Jesus, right? I mean, you need to know Jesus. But I'm just saying, for good manners, you don't even need to know Jesus. It's just common sense. You just be polite. Say please and thank you. So we even, not as Christ followers, even just as normal people, we know that being thankful is a good thing, right? It's like you should at least say thank you if you don't want to get slapped by your mom. Right? Or grandma, because grandmas do that. No, they really don't. They just spoil you. So why, if we know that we're supposed to be thankful, just who's ready to talk? Just shout out something back at me. Why are we not thankful normally? Like, why would we not? If we just know, it's common sense. Everyone knows that we're supposed to be polite. Why are some reasons that we don't practice thankfulness on a regular basis? Sometimes we just don't think we're forgiven. We got a wrong view of God. Yeah. Somebody else. Well, I thought I would get a lot of answers really quickly. You guys are thinking it through. How come you're not thankful? Last Tuesday, why weren't you thankful? Now that is a great answer. I didn't have that one written down. I've got some written down, but I didn't have that one written down. The answer, if you couldn't hear it, was we probably have too much. Oh my. Oh my. Has anyone, gosh, I can think of 100 examples for this. How many times are we thankful that that the lights come on? Like, really? How many times are we thankful when we walk in? Like, we built our house. Like, you've heard 101 stories of analogies of us building our house and how that's like God, whatever, because I work that into every illustration because that's all we did for a long time. But I tell you what, when you walk into a room, when you've wired that and the light turns on, you're pretty thankful. you're a little concerned when you flip the switch and the light doesn't turn on because you can't yell at the electrician because you're him, right? So we're very thankful that the light turns on when the light, like, and there's so many things that we could go through that we just have so much. We're just blessed with so much that we don't even worry about the little things, little, quote unquote, little things. But just think of the last ice storm. How many of the little things were little then, right? We've moved upstairs when Callie was born that week. We lived in the basement for a while. We moved upstairs. And so we've got this digital stovetop now. I've got a 5,700-watt generator. And so we started the generator up, and we can run a few things in the house. We've got a propane furnace, so we can run the furnace. And I was excited to go cook some food. Thought, well, I'll turn one of the little burners on. Boop. Boop. For whatever reason, because of the sine waves or whatever, it's not clean enough power or whatever. The digital thing is like, I'm not going to do it. Like, really? We have a generator? We could cook? So fortunately, we saved our old stove, which is down in the basement now, which is hooked up down there. So we cooked eggs and bacon and whatever, one burner at a time with our little generator that was running a few lights. I tell you what, in those moments, you're pretty thankful for the little things. All of a sudden, the little things become the big things. And so, being thankful, how many of you, you don't have to raise your hands, but how many of you are more kind of like analytical people? Like, you pick stuff apart. I'm kind of wired like that. And it helps you solve problems, but I tell you what it does. It turns you into a negative person. Like, the gift of God to be able to see why something wouldn't work, like in a business setting, that's phenomenal. That's going to save the company millions of dollars. It's going to help you out, right? In real life, just means most of the time you're negative, right? Because you're constantly picking things apart of why, well, no, this isn't going to work this way, and this isn't going to work this way. If you have that gift, oh, Lord, have mercy on your family and friends, because while in certain situations, it's great because you can decode and go through, well, it's okay, no, this is working, all right. You're probably a good mechanic or a good, you know, at repairing things. I'm just saying, whether anyone has told you this or not, you're a terrible person to be around sometimes. So just let me be the bearer of that bad news. But there's hope. You can change. You can offset that, because every gift of God, when it's in the flesh, It ceases being a gift, and it starts to be a burden to the people around you, right? People that are all carefree and whatever. That's a gift of God, man, that gift of encouragement and optimism, faith, right? And your spouse is like, would you ever take anything serious? Like, we need to talk about this. Oh, it's fine, right? I'm just saying. That's not what we're talking about right now. Another thing I thought of is some people have never been taught to be thankful. I mean, as goofy as that is, people just grow up in homes where they're not bad homes. Just you were never taught manners. You're never taught the importance of being thankful for stuff. And maybe very spoiled, or I don't know. It could be a lot of different things, but one reason we're not thankful is maybe we've just never been taught to be. Or we're a product of our environment. We just let negativity kind of just creep into our lives. Have you guys ever found yourself, maybe you're not that negative of a person, but have you guys ever found yourself in a season of life, maybe you started hanging out with negative people, maybe you just watched what's on the TV at 6 o'clock and 10 o'clock too much. Maybe, you know, for whatever reason, you just like all of a sudden one day you're just like, oh, or maybe someone had said something to you. Gosh, you're negative. And you're like, oh, I am, right? You kind of have become a product of your environment. You've let that creep into you and you stop being thankful. You've stopped appreciating the things around you. You've stopped looking at sunsets. You've stopped slowing down in life and just, whoa, I'm so thankful for my family and that I've got a roof over my head and warmth, you know, just simple things. Here's one for you. We're not thankful sometimes. Listen to this. Like, just move your toes if you need to. Hopefully, I'm sure this is none of you in here. But sometimes we're not thankful because it doesn't fit the narrative of my life. Because if I become thankful, the narrative of my life is I'm a victim, right? And woe is me. And oh, life is so bad for me. And that's, I get a lot of attention like that. Because I'm going to tell you about how bad my life is. And if I start being thankful, that runs cross-grain to the story that I'm presenting in my life. And so I tend to just kind of hiccup at thankfulness because that's not how I view myself in my life. And things are working good for me right now, being bad. Things are so bad that they're good, right? I get a lot of attention. People help me out with a lot of stuff because woe is me, right? Sure, that's only people that aren't here today. That's you. It's camera people. I'm sure. Has to be. And the last one that I had written down is sometimes we're not thankful. And here's one we're going to talk really about today. We're not thankful because we don't think it's that important. Honestly. We're not thankful sometimes because we just don't realize the importance of it. And so this isn't going to be like a 15 points on how to be thankful, or, you know, it's not going to be one of those. But I just want to go to the Word of God and just say, what does the Word of God tell us? And how does that challenge our lives on being thankful, being a grateful person, not being a negative person, not being a grumbler and a complainer? So we're going to go to the Word of God, and we're going to be in Colossians chapter 1. And it says this, "For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you." Hold on one second. Turn your eyes back to me for just a second. Has anyone in here ever prayed for someone else before? Or just, we're starting, hey, I've realized that I can't jump too far ahead, otherwise it's just too big of a question. So we start simple. Anyone has prayed for someone? All right. Think of the last time that you prayed for someone. I mean, I don't just mean, oh, and God bless mommy and daddy and whatever. I mean, prayed for someone. I mean, the last time you really prayed for someone, hopefully it was this week, but if not, maybe if it was a couple weeks ago or a month ago or a year ago or 2 years ago, think of the last time you really prayed for someone. I mean, really prayed for someone. Like, do most of you feel like at some point in your life, at some time, that you've really prayed for someone? Think of the emotions that are involved with really praying for someone. Think of the connection that's involved with really praying for someone. If you're really praying for someone, I mean, you're going to bat for them. Man, you're coming before the throne of God, and you're just laying it all out there. Moms, I mean, grandmas, you guys know, right? You're connected, man. You're connected with God. You're connected with your kids. And when something's off on one of those relationships, you guys just feel that. And you're just going to bat for these kids. And dads, I hope you do too, because we need to be. But praying for someone, man, you sense maybe their pain. You sense maybe their apathy. If you're praying for some, you know, maybe a wayward child or someone who's just not getting it, you know, with God or whatever, I'm like, there's a wrestling that happens. There's an intensity that happens. I'm digging into this. And there, it's not just a, okay, Lord God, now help us to pay our electricity bill next month. Oh, and remember Johnny and bless him. I'm not talking about those kind of prayers. I'm talking about God, and I know this because I've done this often in my lives and often for one of you guys. The Lord will drop one of you guys in my heart that week. And typically it's walking around here. But there's just this wrestling. And I'll just stop. And sometimes it's just exhausting. Anyone ever prayed for someone and you're just exhausted when you're done? There's this connection that happens. And you're just going to town for this person. You're saying, God, stir hearts and change lives and move in this situation. And bring your glory about it in this situation. And work on their soul. And there's this passion that's involved and a personal connection and a personal investment in this. And so I want you guys, as we read these verses, I want you to think about Paul as he's writing this. And I want you to feel the weight of that. Because we're reading up Paul's prayer in the Bible. And so often when we read our Bibles, guys, you've heard me say this many times. We read our Bibles and we read it like a Sunday school book or a catechism book or a book that we got from the library. These are real letters and stories and books written to real people about real life events with real emotions and real God moments. And so this is written to the church at Colossae. And Paul is writing this, and he's saying this, for this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. I want you to hear the weight of that in Paul's words. I want you to hear his concern, his joy, I want you to hear Paul's hunger for them to experience what he's experienced. I want you to hear Paul's longing for the church at Colossae to know what he knows, to know the God that he knows, to be in the place where he is, because he's gone before them. And so he said, I haven't stopped praying for you. We continually, like I didn't just pray last Thursday and then I forgot about it. Remember, Paul's a real person. He had real emotions, real feelings, writing to a real group of people. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, and so that you might live a life worthy of the Lord. Stephen, that verse he said this morning, what kind of lives ought we to live? We ought to live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, colon. What the colon tells you is that there's something following that's tied to this right here. So how we're going to live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, follows the colon. That's what we're going to answer. That's the question that we're going to answer. Okay? So the next line says this, that you might bear fruit in every good work. Hold back up a second. Live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, so that your guys' lives is worthy of Jesus. The way that you live is worthy of Jesus, and that the way of your life is pleasing to God. There's things that we can do that are displeasing to God. There's things that we can do that are pleasing to God. In fact, quite a few times it's mentioned in the New Testament. And so we're going to find out what one of those is. It's to bear fruit in every good work. What are we talking about with powerful people? We opened it up for the first couple of weeks about bearing fruit, being fruitful, being vibrant, thriving children of God, walking out, doing kingdom things in kingdom ways, having kingdom thoughts, and being about God's business. And so his prayer is, in order for you to live lives worthy of God and to please him in every way, that this is what your life should look like. Number one, you should bear fruit in every good work. You should be about God's business, and that it should be fruitful. That it shouldn't just be just putting in your time, punching your God clock, right? Oh, I prayed today. All right. Oh, I read my devotional. No, that you're bearing fruit, that it's producing something in your life and in other people's lives, that you're growing in the knowledge of God. Do you know Jesus more today? Not more about Jesus, but do you know Jesus more? And also, do you know more about them, about him? Have we spent time with God? Are we increasing our knowledge of God? Are we increasing in our knowledge of his word? All right, next thing, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might. All right, guys, in 2020, in this moment right here, this is our prayer. That God, that you would strengthen us, God, with all power. That's that part of, listen to this, part of living a life worthy of God and part of pleasing him is that you're strengthened. I think sometimes when we come to God and we pray, God, I just need your strength. Wait a minute. Just think about this for a second. Paul is writing that in order for you to please God, one of the things that is pleasing to the Lord is that you're strengthened with power. Think of that. We're reading Paul's prayer here. That a life that's pleasing to the Lord is one that's strengthened with God's power according to his glorious might. It's God's pleasure to strengthen you. I'm going to say that again. If you ask God for strength, he'd say, my pleasure, and be sincere. It's his pleasure to strengthen you for kingdom things, to strengthen you to have the fruit of the Spirit, to strengthen you to flow in the gifts of the Spirit, to strengthen you to do good works, to strengthen you to be faithful, to strengthen you to have hope, to strengthen you to witness to others, to strengthen you to worship him, to strengthen you to keep on keeping on. It brings pleasure to God to strengthen you. But we've got to put our own hearts in the right place so that the next thing, so that you might have great endurance and patience. Great endurance. If there's anything we've seen in this season, you need some endurance and patience, right? In this 2020 COVID season, my gosh, talk about canceled plans and, oh, when is this going to end? And just the weariness of it all. We need the patience of God to keep on keeping on, to be faithful, to hold true. And to keep pressing through, and to not let the character and the essence of who we are be affected by the outside. And that's so important. And then we see this very next thing, and giving what? Joyful thanks. Let's read that again out loud. And giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of God. The way that you live a life worthy of the Lord, a life that is, wow, Jesus redeemed you. You couldn't pay for that in 1,000 lifetimes. There's nothing you could do to add to that. But in response to that, in order to live a life that's worthy of that sacrifice, we could never be worthy of that. That's not what we're saying. But to live a life that's worth that sacrifice, it's bearing fruit, it's all these things, and it's giving joyful thanks is part of that. I don't know that, I guess maybe that I've missed that before, but giving joyful thanks is part of us doing all those other things. Being thankful is part of how we live our lives to please the Lord. Look at this now. Bearing fruit, growing in the knowledge of God, well, this is all what we just talked about. Being strengthened with all power, having great endurance and patience, they are all produced in the environment of gratitude. All of those, like, this series is called Powerful People, right? I mean, is there any more checkpoints that would, like, kind of define powerful people than those top four? Bearing fruit, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power, having endurance and patience. That is a powerful person. That's not a powerless person. That's not a person who's wishy-washy in their faith. That's not a person who's weak. That's the epitome of a powerful person. And what kind of environment, what kind of inner attitude, what kind of inner atmosphere do I need to have? It's the environment of joyful gratitude. It's the environment where that every day I wake up and I look for things to be thankful for. Every day, every moment, every hour, I build into my life things that contribute to that attitude of thankfulness. Because if I don't have gratitude, I begin to put cracks in all of those foundations. Because how long do you think you're going to endure and be patient when you're Miss Grumbelina or Mr. Grumblepants? Because you know what that does? It just sucks life out of you. It does. Have you ever had a hole in your bucket, dear Liza? Do people still do chores with buckets? Is that still a thing? Or is everything so automated now you just push buttons? No, they're all shaking their heads no. What's that? Buckets. Buckets. Yes. Yes. And if you've got one that you just have to use and it's got a crack in it or whatever, I mean, it gets the job done, but boy, you've got to hurry up. That does not exude patience, right? Because it's leaking out. And if we're negative, if we're not developing that consistent and reoccurring heart of gratitude and thankfulness, you start to get cracks in the things that God's trying to do in our lives. We end up not being powerful people. The strength begins to wane out of our lives. And thankfulness conditions the soil of our heart to produce the right kind of fruit. I'm just going to just let that just hang there for a second. I'm going to say it one more time. Thankfulness conditions the soil of our heart to produce the right kind of fruit. And we see that in Scripture all the time about the condition of our heart. Because God, let's say this. What God wants, let's back up even further. Do you believe that God wants to do things in your life? Yes or no?
Yes.
Yes, okay. Same page. Do you believe that God has things in mind that he wants to do?
Yes.
Okay. Do you believe, I don't want you to answer this because this is kind of tricky. It's not meant to be a trick question. So let me just say it. The things that God wants to do don't change from minute to minute. Like God sees the beginning from the end. Agree? Okay, so he just kind of has this plan for your life. He has the things that he wants. And there's some overarching things that we could say, does God want you to love other people? Yes or no?
Yes.
So it doesn't matter. There doesn't have to be a specific, well, I don't know. God doesn't know where I'm going to be at in this stage of my life. It doesn't matter. He does know, but it doesn't matter because there's some general overarching things that he wants to do in your life, period. It doesn't matter if you're Greg or if you're Travis or if you're Kathy or they're just kingdom things that he wants to do in your life. Does he want you to forgive others? Yes or no?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. We don't need to be like seeking the Lord. Do you want no. Just there's just the revealed will of God that this is what you're supposed to be doing. Often the result of that, if we see it happening in our life, is not on God's end. It's often where's our heart at? And so thankfulness keeps our heart in kind of in the right lane, right? It keeps the soil of our heart at the right pH balance for the right things to grow, right? We don't want the wrong things to grow because guess what? If you look at the Word of God, you see often that the soil of your heart will grow weeds as well as fruit. Yes or no?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. There's multiple parables or examples or thought lines of that. That the soil of our heart, do not let, here's a Bible verse, I don't know where it's at. I think it's Galatians. Do not let any root of bitterness grow in you. Any root of bitterness. Do not let the root, say root. Root. Don't let the root, what does a root grow in? Soil grows in the ground. No trick questions here today. Roots go down, right? Don't let the root of bitterness grow, right? And in the night, in the Gospels, a thief came and he planted weeds in with the wheat. And so they went, hey, what should we do? Let them grow up. And then when they're harvest time, we'll separate, you know, the wheat from the weeds, right? There's all these parables, you know, the four soils. The third one talks about how, you know, there was a good crop coming up, but the worries of life and anxieties and you know, wealth, pursuit of wealth, choked out, like these thorns choked out the other weeds. So the soil of your heart has the capacity to grow God things, and it has the capacity to grow evil things. Has the capacity to grow good fruit, has the capacity to grow bad fruit. Thankfulness helps condition our heart. It helps till up the soil. It helps plant the right nutrients in there for the Word of God to be planted in and grow good things. Thankfulness, being grateful, conditions our heart for those things. All right? So being thankful. Number one, it pleases the Lord. That's what we just read. That's the verse that we just read. I don't know if we'll get through many of these, but I just thought, gosh, let's keep our heart in the right place so that the right kind of fruit can grow. Another verse. This is also in Colossians chapter 2. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him. Rooted, say rooted. It seems like we just talked about that. Rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with what? Thankfulness. Huh. Here's how we're... Do you see anything in this verse, maybe the big highlighted words, that would talk about being a powerful person, right? Is there any kind of language in this Bible verse that would lend itself to give us an image in our head of strong, thriving, powerful, God-filled people? Well, why, yes, Pastor, there is. We're talking about being rooted. Deep foundation. We're talking about built up. High reach, lofty goals, big God, and we're talking about being strengthened. I mean, we're talking about toes to head and everything in between, walking in the fullness and power of God, rooted in the power of Christ, built up, not just staying where we're at, not just staying with roots in the ground, but also built up, and then everything in between strengthened. Not weak limbs, not weak bark, not weak branches, strength. Strong sap, strong leaves, right? In the faith as you were taught. And so as this picture of strength is being portrayed here, it says, and overflowing with thankfulness. That's the lifeblood for the strength of God in us. What if that's really true? What if I'm not just preaching? Right? What if we're not just at church and Thanksgiving weekend in 2020, and what if this stuff really is true? What if the Bible really is God-breathed words of God? What if it really does have any bearing on your life today? What if instead of, or in addition to tradition, which can be good, you know, worshiping God is a tradition we have here. Hands up, that's good, right? What if instead of just, well, I'm a Christian because I'm not a Muslim, or I'm not a, right, you know, or I'm not a atheist, or I'm not a whatever. What if as a Christ follower, we actually look at this word of God and say, does this really have bearing on my life in 2020? What if it really does? What if the picture of me being rooted in Christ, built up with great vision and strengthened in between, what if that really was tied to me being thankful? Oh boy, I would say we've got a problem. If the Word of God's really true, we got a problem here, folks. Because I don't think there's a picture of a lot of us walking on a scale of one to overflowing. Where are you at in your thankfulness level? On a scale from one to rooted, built up, and strengthened in Christ, where are you at? How closely matched are those two numbers? You see what we're getting at here? If our lives are not overflowing with thankfulness. I saw a picture on Facebook that is one of my new favorite. There's so much stuff, and every once in a while, one will just kind of hit you. And this one just hit me. It hit me right between the feels, right? So the optimist sees the cup as half full. The pessimist sees the cup as half empty. The psalmist sees the cup as running over. Man, you can go home now. I mean, that's worth the price of admission right there. The optimist sees the cup half full. The pessimist sees the cup half empty. Which are you? I'm a psalmist. I see my cup running over. Let that just settle into your soul. God, let us be a psalmist. The scientist says, well, it's half full of water and half full of air and oxygen. Just forget that one. We're not even going to talk about that because that's just dumb. Rooted, built up, and strengthened as we overflow in thankfulness. So on a scale of one to overflowing, where's my life at today? So the second thing, it pleases the Lord and it produces strength and good fruit. And the third one, we'll just hit this one really quick. It promotes good mental health. I'm going to kind of throw you for a second with a verse here. And look at this. Romans 1, 21 and 22. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor, what? Gave thanks to him. But in their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools. And if you're not familiar with the Romans 1 chapter and chapter 2, like, there's some diabolical things in there. There's just this list of, you know, sexual perversions and just a whole list of the heart of man being given over to man's heart. Yeah. Here's what evil looks like. It's already planted in our hearts. The Word of God can root it out, but if we don't follow that path, then sometimes God just gives honestly, one of the harshest judgments of God is just to let us be. Just let us run our own course. And it is ugly what is in the heart of man. So that's what's following, or kind of before and after this chunk of scripture here. And so we tend to really kind of pound our fist on the latter part of this chapter, but we tend to ignore the part of this that actually the therapeutic part of this. Well, how do we not be that? How do we not go down that path? How do we not end up depraved? How do we not end up subject to our own evil desires? And we get this snapshot. They knew God. Now I'm going to take a little creative license. You know, they went to church, right? They had a Bible in their house, big thick one. You know, they did the stuff. You know, Easter time, absolutely. Right? They knew God. But here's what happened in their lives. They didn't glorify God. And I feel like this is so out of place because I don't understand the power of thankfulness. I feel like, wait a minute, they had to do something else. They didn't glorify God and, I don't know, they did some other evil, heinous thing. No, the other thing that, and you got to remember that every word that's included in Scripture, number one, physically was hard to write out, produce, and maintain, and historically has been kept for thousands of years, right? So this is important. Every word that's in here is important. For although they knew God, they didn't glorify him as God, and they didn't give thanks to him. So either my understanding is limited, or this is really more powerful than we think. Does that make sense? If that's what's included before this kind of famous passage that you know, conservative Christians really kind of lean into to tell us what sin is and what isn't or whatever, what was a key contributing factor to that? You weren't thankful. Gosh. If someone was writing about my life after the fact, if this was it today, I mean, like, we all jump in a Greyhound, and that's the, you know, your Jesus comes back, and the people that are left that didn't go in the rapture or whatever, however, some reason we're not here anymore, and they're writing a story about our lives. Do I get recorded as a thankful person? Do the words of the legacy of my life? Like, am I in this category or not? Because I don't want to be in that category. And we're not talking about guilt and shame. Like, not at all. I'm just being analytical here. The only way to grow is to know where we're at. If we don't have a self-analysis, if your analysis of yourself is you're like a 10 out of 10 on thankfulness, and your wife is like, like two, right? There's either you got problems in your marriage or you got a bad self-assessment, right? There's something happening here. And so the Bible tells us to give a sober self-assessment. So with no condemnation here, I don't want to be in that camp. And I think far too often I am. I think far too often I let the severity of the circumstances in the moment that I'm in capture the allegiance of my heart. Where only Jesus should. And I should be giving thanks and looking for moments to glorify God in that. Instead, I'm grumbling and complaining. Guys, we're human. We're not getting out of this alive. So there's always going to be this sin nature in us, but we can squash that down until it's almost non-existent, until Jesus comes back and gives us glorified bodies. Let's grow towards that end. I was going to do a bunch of the benefits of gratitude, but we're going to stop there. And I just want to end with what I already challenged you with. On a scale from 1 to overflowing, where's your heart at with being thankful today? Now, I didn't give you lots of practical tips and how to keep a thankfulness journal or a thankfulness jar or any of those. You know, like, we didn't talk about the nuts and bolts of this, but I want you to leave today. I apologize if that didn't happen, but I hope that we opened up Scripture enough to say, this is important to God, and it's really important to our lives. It's important for the strength of your life. It's tied up in us having attitudes of gratefulness. Attitudes of thanksgiving, cultivating that in your life. It's worth the headache and uneasiness. And if you're not used, if you're kind of more of a cynical person, it's worth it. It's worth that grating against what you're used to start being thankful, to start being grateful in the Lord, to start giving thanks to God in more ways than you typically have been. So if you're at a 1, let's shoot for a 2 this week, okay? If you're at a 6, maybe shoot for a 7.5. If you're at an 8, ask your spouse, because you got your delusional, right? Just saying. Let's shoot for overflowing. Let's press towards that. But this week, can we bump it up a notch? Can I elevate the level of thankfulness in my heart? Because I guarantee you, the bad circumstances, there's going to be more next week. There's going to be more the week after. And if you're looking for that, you'll find it. But if you're looking for scriptural grounding and benefits on why we need to be thankful, I hope we've given them today, because you're not going to be a thriving man or woman of God, child of God, if we don't cultivate that attitude of thankfulness in our life. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we just pray for thankful hearts today. Thank you for your grace. It's all you, Jesus. Lord, and we just pray that the goodness and glory of God would be just manifest in our lives, God. Lord, we lean on you for everything that we have today. We ask that you would turn our hearts towards you, turn our hearts towards gratefulness. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said, amen. Amen. Have a blessed week, guys.